Okay, well, I want to do this network analyzer demo, but I don't know that I'm going to get to it today because there's one more thing about these waves that we need to talk about that we haven't talked about so you can completely understand what the network analyzer is doing, and that is two ports. We've only talked about one port. In other words, just, you know, two wires coming out. That's one port. You know, we've looked at the reflection coefficient. That's actually the scattering matrix for a one port. But we often work with situations that have two ports, you know, an input and an output, right? And we'd like to understand those things as well, especially because, you know, that's where transfer functions come in and all those kind of things. So we need to understand that. And furthermore, we need to understand it on the network analyzer because the network analyzer has a calibration procedure. And the calibration procedure allows you to have any linear network between where the analyzer is and where you actually want to measure the load, which is very good because it's very hard to make a, you know, a completely 50-ohm transmission line from here to here, you know, that's exactly in lambda over 2 or something, so you wouldn't have to have any corrections, or you'd have to do some kind of corrections, you know, in the software or something. So what I want to do is I want to talk about two-port parameters, which is very good because it deals with transfer functions, but I also want to do it because you have to understand that in order to understand what the network analyzer calibration procedure is doing, which is a very important procedure on the network analyzer, and allows you to do things like, you know, you can have your network analyzer like me. I could have it down in my ham shack, and I could measure the impedance of my antenna that's up on the tower, you know, 100 feet up in the air, and all I've got to do is run this calibration procedure, okay? Actually, so one of the things I want to do is I want to take my Android phone and I want to make it so that, you know, it's on Wi-Fi, so when I'm on top of my tower, I actually, you know, have Wi-Fi there and I can use it or whatever. I want to connect it to the network analyzer so that I can, you know, run the calibration procedure, because it ends up what you have to do is you put a 50-ohm load on there, and then you know, push the button to get it to make a measurement then, and then you do it for a short circuit and an open circuit, and from those three measurements, it can figure out what the network is in between, and then calibrate that out. Otherwise, if I don't do that, I have to run down the tower, push the button, run back up the tower, change the load, run back down the tower, push the button, run back up the tower, change the load, and do that, you know, three times for each load, one for each load, right? Yeah. Yeah. Or I have to get my daughter to push the button for me. That would be more likely what I would do. Running up and down the tower is really good exercise. Anyway, so we want to look at two-port scattering networks, two ports, and we want to look at basically scattering parameters for two ports. So here we have a two-port. Okay, there's input and output, or one and two. I'm going to call this port one over here and port two over here. Port two could be the output if you like, or port, you know, one could be the output and port two be the input. It doesn't matter. One thing nice about scattering is that it's symmetrical. It really does. You don't have to have an out and an in. You know, just two ports. Now, what happens is we would like to write the reflected waves as a function of the forward waves, okay? And this port right here will have a transmission line impedance Z01 And this one will have a transmission line impedance Z02. And they don't have to be equal, but, you know, you can make them unequal if you want. And you can imagine if there's an input here, I'm going to call that input, I'm going to call that A1 plus, okay? Then there will be a reflection coming back here. I'll call that A1 minus, okay? And over here, when I put in an A1 plus, there'll probably be something coming out, an A2, and let's see. This is in, so that would be plus, so this is minus, because it's coming out, okay? And, you know, if I put in an A2 plus, there's possible I could have an A2 plus here as well, okay? Now, I've written A's because, you see, when we're thinking about things this way, actually what we're usually concerned about is it could be voltage or it could be current, right? It could be V1 plus and I1 plus, right? Or it could be current. But what we're going to do is we're actually going to think about things in terms of power, okay? Because often power is sent down a transmission line. And so what I want to do is I want to say that the power P is equal to A, has units of A squared. Okay, so if A1 plus is, if you think about it in terms of voltage, A1 plus would be equal to V1 plus divided by the square root of Z01, okay? Because if I square that, I get V1 plus squared divided by Z01, which is the incident power hitting that port, okay? Does that make sense? And in the case where Z01 and Z02 are the same, you could just replace these things with V1 plus, V1 minus, you know, A1, and they're just proportional. And so what happens is you could actually divide them out in this equation I'm about to write here. Let me write the equation here. This is A1 minus A2 minus equals, and these A's are, of course, complex numbers. And this is A1 plus A2 plus. So the inputs, these inputs are the input coming things. Those are on the right hand side, and these things are the things that are scattered or reflected, okay, coming back out. It's kind of like if you thought about a one port thing, we could do a one port thing like this. This is Z0, and we put our load on here, whatever it is, right? Z load. And you could think of this as a one port, just one box. It has A1 plus coming in and A1 minus coming out. And, you know, we said V minus equals gamma times V plus. And this guy is, you know, the reflection coefficient. And so if you wanted to, you could take that and divide by the square root of Z0, like that. And now this is, this is A1 minus equals equals gamma. Times A1 plus, okay? And, you know, these are complex numbers. Maybe I should write, you know, I don't know that they usually write them in bold. They just usually write them. Maybe they do, I don't know. Anyway, but they're complex numbers. I mean, I don't know whether I want to write. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, but it's not, I'm putting the thing on the wrong side. This is digital control. I got to put it up there. If you want to, we can write all these things with a bar because they're actually a phasor number, right? So, So this is this would be this thing for a one port. You can actually have an N port if you want. You could have more ports than this, right? And then this thing right here, which is going to be a 2x2 matrix right here, would be an N by N matrix, right? Where you have all the inputs coming in and then all the reflection, you know, reflection things going out. And these A's are set up to be, you know, so that A squared, magnitude of A squared, is the power that's at that port, okay? And in the case where all the Z0s are the same, if you look at this thing right here, I'm going to put in, you know, I'm going to put in S11, S12, S21, and S22. Those are called, this is called the scattering parameters or scattering matrix. And these things inside are the scattering parameters, okay? If I was to take the, if Z01 and Z02 were identical, I could write V1 plus here in place of this, because really this, there's just a square root of Z0 underneath both of these, right? And if I just multiply that out, then I get the voltages V1 plus, right? Now, I can't do that with I's because, remember, the minuses have a minus Z0 in there, right? But you could figure out it's just a matter of a, you know, negative sign if you want to convert to currents from the scattering thing. But the scattering parameters are based on voltages, but the voltages have been normalized so that when you take the magnitude squared of that voltage, you get the incident power, okay? And, you know, I should probably show you, you know, if you go on Agilent Technologies website, they have some very good app notes. There's some of those that are linked on the wiki. And, you know, it actually might be worth your while to look at some of these things. The way I represent what's going on in here in this thing right here is like this. Maybe I'll do it in blue here. This thing coming around here like that, that's A1 minus is equal to this thing times A1 plus, right? So this thing would be S11. In other words, right here, if I have none of this, I mean, if I'm not thinking about this and there's no A2 coming in, if A2 plus is 0, so this term is 0, then I say A1 minus is S11 times A1 plus this times 0, right? And so what I'm saying is that guy right there, this gamma right here would be like S11. In other words, I would be putting over here A1 minus equals S11 times A1 plus in the one port parameter, okay? So gamma is S11, okay, for one ports. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is a 1x1 scattering matrix. Now we're doing a 2x2 because we like to have inputs and outputs. And so if I do that, I've got A1 minus is S11 times A1 plus S12 times A2 plus. Well, then if I want to put in the S12 times A2 plus, it comes over kind of like that, and it joins in with this guy right here, right? And now this guy right here would be S12. So I could say A1 minus is A1 plus times S11 plus S12 times A2 plus, okay? Does that make sense? Okay. And similarly, on the other side, A2 minus, that's this guy, is made up of this guy right here. And what is he? S22, yeah. Okay, plus this guy right here, going that way, and what is that? Yeah, S21. Okay, so now, we can kind of see what would happen here. I want to do an example problem. This is actually a really important example. And the question is, What is S 2-1 if Z01 equals Z02 and the network, let's just say the network looks like this. And I'll draw it here. I'm going to have a voltage source here, Vs. I'm going to put a resistor here, and I'm going to make that Z0. Rs equals Z0. And maybe I put equals Z0 here. Okay? Say Z0. And this goes into, transmission line here, very small, right? No distance, Z0, right? Goes into a network here, a two-port network. And this comes out, this is Z0. And on the load end, I'm just going to connect a load resistor here. ZL equals Z0. And we want to know, this is given by a scattering matrix, S. Let's call this thing right here. S. When I put a little tilde underneath it, that means it's a square matrix, okay? Since I can't draw with a bold font and all that stuff on the board, okay? So, and these guys right here, I would call this right here a vector. I would call that A2. It's a phasor, but I'm going to put a bar under it to indicate it's a 2x1 vector, okay? And that would be a plus because it's a plus vector. And this would be it's not 2, it's just A plus. And this would be A minus, which is a vector, and it's a phasor, equals. So A minus, that's this vector, equals the scattering matrix S times A plus. Okay? Does that make sense? So what comes out equals what goes in times the scattering matrix. Okay? So we're thinking in terms of waves here. So what our question is now, we're going to take this thing, we're popping it in here, and we want to know, what does S21 signify? I mean, do we know what S21 means in the case where everything is kind of perfectly matched here? In other words, this thing is run with a Z0 transmission, a source, right? Everything is matched to the Z0 transmission line, right? Got our scattering matrix here. And then it's terminated in Z0 as well, right? And this is some kind of network here with, input and output impedance matched to 50 ohms or whatever Z0 is, right? So this is S11, S12, S21, S22. And I just want to know, what is this guy down here? What does that represent? Okay, so let's look at it. It's right here in this expression. We have to figure out what these S's are, right? So let's start out with this S11, okay? And what do I want to do there? Well, actually, what I'm going to have, I want the input to this thing to have an input impedance of Z0 as well. So I need to write that equals Zn. I guess we've got one port one here and port two over here, port two over here. Zn1 equals Zn2. And I suppose I need to squish this over here. Maybe I'll just go like that, okay? So, this has some output impedance here. And this might go, this goes on, right? But the impedance here is Z0 also, okay? So the output, maybe I should say, this is input and that's output. In other words, Zn equals Zout equals Z0, okay? Zn equals Zout equals Zout equals Z0, because Z0 looks just like Z0, right? Right? Okay. Okay, so what we've got is a situation like this. I've got some kind of a network here. You know, it has an input impedance of Z0, I mean, and an output impedance of Z0, and it's running into a load impedance of Z0 and has a nice, fed with a source like this. So if I do that, there's some transfer function, maybe I should actually write this more like this. It would make it even more easy. Look, this needs to be a dependent source. So this is the amplifier model for us, right? This is AV, which is a function of omega, if you like, right? This is Z0, and AV times VN. Maybe I need to write that on the other side so I can. Then this is AV of omega VN. This is VN. Okay. Right, so it's some kind of a transfer function, right? And that AV is actually the kind of, it's the voltage gain there. So what happens here, as long as we've got this thing set up like this. Now, let's think about these S's. So S11 equals, okay? Well, if you look at S11, right, there's going to be no reflection here. Everything is going to be absorbed in this network here, right? So S11 is 0. And S22 would also be 0, right? Because when you turn off voltage over here, you just get Z0 there, right? So that's also 0. And then what that means is that the total voltage V out here, that over here is Z0, this is V out, right? That means V out, which equals, really it's going to be V, this what comes in here is V2 plus, and what comes out here is V2 minus, right? Those are phasor numbers, right? V out is equal to V2 plus V2 minus. It's got the forward plus the reflected wave, right? To get the total voltage. And in our case, V2 plus. Okay. No, the inputs are plus, right? And outputs are minus. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I understand what you want to do, but it doesn't matter. Maybe I could put all the ports on the left-hand side, right? And then going in is plus, coming back is minus. Okay, this is what we're doing. It's not in here, and this is plus because it's still going in the right-hand direction, right? It's in or plus and out or negative, okay? So this is right here. So if you look at this, what do we get right here? I'm going to put a VS in. So this is going to be a V1 plus, right? And then there'll be the V1 minus right here, right? And there's nothing over here. If you look at here, what happens, whatever comes out here, it's going to see Z0, right? So there'll be no input back this way, right? So what I'm saying is V2 minus is going to equal 0 because ZL equals Z0. Okay? Make sense? Okay. And there's no source over here. Maybe I should write that too, but I think that's kind of obvious, right? No source to start it. But over here, I'm going to have a V1 plus, right? And I'm going to have a V1 minus. But the V1 minus here is going to be what? So on V1, I'll write it while you're thinking. V1 equals V1 plus, plus V1 minus, and V1 minus equals what? There's a Z0 load, input load impedance, right? So there'll be no reflection, right? Does that make sense? Equals zero. Because Zn equals Z0, right? In other words, I put my wave in, it's all into, it's all absorbed into Zn, right? Make sense? Okay, so in that case, this guy went to zero, right? And this guy went to zero as well, right? So V out is equal to V2 plus, and Vn is equal to V1 plus. No, I did the wrong thing here. I said the wrong thing, you guys. This should be V2 plus is equal to zero because, see, there's a voltage source here, right? This voltage source is going to cause a plus going out that way, right? And it's not going to, it's not going to be reflected off this, right? So this should have been V2 plus, so that is the wrong one here. This is the one that goes to zero, right? Okay. This is going to cause a forward going wave going out, right? And that wave is going to go out and it's going to hit Z load. This is a Z0 transmission line here between them, right? And Z load equals Z0, so that wave will be totally absorbed into the ZL, right? There won't be a need for a reflection because the ratio of voltage to current is already ZL. It's already Z0, which is ZL, right? So the reflection is zero. The reflection is V2 plus, right?
Okay.
Right?
See, that's why I was confused.
Yeah, no, I understand. I said the wrong thing. It's my apologies. I messed up. I said the wrong thing there. Okay. So now we can write the scattering matrix here. So the scattering matrix says that V, okay, it's the minuses, right? V1 minus V2 minus equals, I'm going to put in S11 we said was 0, right? And then S12 and then S21 and then 0, right? And then we had V1 plus V1 minus, and the reason I can put V's here because instead of the A's is because the Z0 here is the same as the Z0 there, right? Thank you. I can't do the right thing today. Thank you. Okay, so now we can write from this that V2 minus equals S21 times V2 plus. Do you agree? Did I do that? V2 minus S21 times V1 plus. Thank you. Okay.
No.
This guy equals this times that plus that times that. Okay. Okay. So now we said that V1 was equal to V1 plus. So this guy was V1, right? And we said V2 minus is equal to V0, V out, right? So this is V out. So V out equals S21 times V1, right? Which is V, that's the voltage here, Vn, right? This is Vn. And so this guy must be the transfer function, our famous transfer function of the circuit. Right? That's your old friend. Okay? Now, that's only the case only when everything is matched. This assumes everything is matched.
Is that a common?
Well, it's common because actually we try to make it happen that way. We actually design things. It's very nice to have a bunch of blocks you could put in here and you just cascade them however you like and everything just works if everything is all matched to 50 ohms or whatever. In fact, you know, if you notice in the laboratory equipment we have down there in the lab, those Wavetech signal generators, they say by the output it says 50 ohms. That means this is the schematic for that Wavetech, the model for that Wavetech, just the source and a 50 ohm resistor, right? And then if you look at the spectrum analyzers, right, they say by the input it says 50 ohms, right? Okay. And so we often try and make these things. You can buy filters, you know, that are 50 ohm input, 50 ohm output impedance. In fact, you actually design them that way because then you can put them in and they won't disturb anything except in the way the filter is supposed to do it. They don't cause any other reflections, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why we're always trying to make everything match. And it also, if you notice, all the power from this incident wave was absorbed into this thing right here. And all the power from this thing was absorbed into that thing, right? That's what you want to happen, you know, to fact, you know, transfer maximum power, right? You know, and this also goes along with the maximum power transfer theorem you learned in circuits. When you have a battery and it has a source impedance RS, the load that you put on there to get the most output would be one that equals RS, RL equals RS, right, to get the maximum power out of that gadget. Okay, so this also works for maximum power transfer. So the network analyzer then, which is it's an instrument that's capable of measuring these 4S parameters, okay? And it can measure those 4S parameters, which means that if you set it up with a source, a regular, you know, 50 ohm source, and a load of 50 ohms, and actually the network analyzer itself is generally designed to have an, you know, on this measurement port, it has a 50 ohm input impedance, and on its source port, it has a 50 ohm output impedance. So the network analyzer, you know, when it's making its measurements, it makes this, and it makes that, and it makes it Z0, and this makes this Z0, okay? And so if then all you have to worry about, you know, if the guy has designed the network analyzer right, then all you have to worry about is the input impedance to your circuit, is it that? And you can measure that input impedance because you can measure S11, right? You put on your load impedance, which is Z0, right? And you just measure S11 there. And that S11 is your old friend gamma from right up here, right? And that goes on the Smith chart, right? And then you know what the impedance is looking in. If it's right smack in the middle of the chart, you're cheering, right? Because that's what you want, 50 ohms right in the middle, right? If it's somewhere else, well, you know what the input impedance is, but you haven't achieved what you wanted, right? And if you haven't done that, then when you measure S21 or S12, either one, S21 is the transfer function going this way, S12 is the transfer function going that way, okay? And if you measure either one of those guys and one of these impedances isn't right, the input impedance or the output impedance is not Z0, then what you measure is not the transfer function, okay? Make sense?
Yeah.
So, but, it, you know, it might be fairly close, you know, as long as you're fairly close on those impedances. And so the network analyzer then is a very important instrument for measuring the transfer function of whatever's inside there. So if you want to make a filter or, you know, whatever you want to make, some kind of a circuit here, an amplifier circuit or something. You can just put your network analyzer on the outside, and it will measure these parameters. And it actually, the circuit model for it looks like this and that. And what you do to measure the first two, which are, we did, what did we do? We did this one and that one. You put the source on this end, right? And then to measure this one and that one, you swap it around. You put the source over here and the load over here, right? So you can measure, you know, going that way or going this way, right? Yeah, S11. Well, so you put the analyzer on this side, and the source of the analyzer on this side, and the measurement of the analyzer over here on this side to get measure that guy and that guy, and then to measure this guy and that guy, you put the measurement port over here and the source over here, and you get those two. Okay, and then you've got the four parameters for the scattering matrix. Okay. Z0 doesn't have to equal everything. If you don't want to, then you need to go back to the A's. And then this also, you know, if it wasn't the case that that the Z0 was the same on both of them, then you can't say the A's are proportional to the voltages. The same thing. There's a factor of, on this guy, there's going to be like a square root of one Z0 over the other Z0 kind of thing if you want to get to the voltages. Right? You got to do those scaling things. But if you want the power transfer function, well, then that would just be like the magnitude of this, you know, S21 squared, right? Which is actually the power transfer function here. If this was H of omega here, the transfer function, the thing you're used to, if you take the magnitude of H of omega squared, that's the power transfer function, okay? Yeah. Maybe I should show you that quickly. Okay. If V out equals H of omega, this is the transfer function, times V in, right? And, of course, you remember Z load this guy right here is Z0, and the input impedance is Zn. I mean, Zn equals Z0 and equals Z load, right? So what's the output power? V out magnitude squared divided by Z in. Actually, it's real part of, I'll just call it, I'm going to say these things equals element of reals. Okay? So this is like, you know, R in. In other words, there's no capacitance there, right? If Z0 has an imaginary part, that means you have a lossy transmission line, okay? And I'm assuming everything is lossless here, right? Okay. So this would be Pn, right? Vn, V out squared. Oh, no, this is P out. P out. V out squared over Z, this would be Z load, right? Z load. And if you want to, you could put a 2 there if this is the 0 to peak, if it's RMS, right? I don't know what you want to do RMS. I'm going to do RMS, okay? And Pn is equal to Vn squared over, you know, Rn, which is equal to, this guy is Rn, the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so then this implies that P out over P in is equal to V out magnitude squared over V in magnitude squared, because the RNs cancel out, right? So that's equal to the magnitude of H of omega squared. Okay, so that's the power transfer function. So what I'm saying is that you can use these waves to measure the old thing that you're thinking about when you were doing things in circuits. However, and I know this is going to be hard to really grasp and actually accept in real world, okay, because your experience has been with total voltages and total currents, right? It's not as easy with the instruments that we have to measure waves, you know, input and reflected. But waves are just as real as those voltages are, okay? And it might be better to think about these scattering parameters in the case, you know, where they're, in the case where everything's matched, you can see they're the same, right? But if they're not matched, right, perhaps those scattering parameters are more important than the transfer function. Because what you really have is waves going in and waves coming back, right? And those waves traveling along have effects, right? That circuits doesn't even consider, right? And circuits could only use a transfer function like this, right? Circuits doesn't have that extra information about the waves. However, the scattering matrix does, okay? Now, the thing, of course, that you lose with, you know, the waves is you lose the simplicity of things. And in real life, when you're designing things, you want to use the simplest possible model that has all the important effects. You don't want to use, you know, the most complicated model that's exact, but will take you your lifetime to actually analyze, and you'll never ever get anything designed, right? So you need to use the simplest, simplest thing that includes all your effects. But, you know, now you have, you know, the tools for kind of doing this. Now, what I'd like to do, we've just kind of defined these things. I'd actually like to do just an example problem that's a little more, you know, a little more difficult than this one was, so that you can see, you know, in the real world how you would use these S parameters. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of start on this network analyzer idea, okay? The network analyzer is kind of like, it has a source like this, and it has a measurement port over here that's like this. Now, the network analyzer, you saw the little boxes, they're about like this. They have two SMA connectors on one of them's the source and one of them's the output. And of course, right there at the analyzer, unless your physical circuit happens to have exactly the same dimensions as the analyzer, you're out of luck, right? Because you've got to put a coaxial cable between the output, you know, to lengthen this thing out to reach to the circuit, and you've got to put something here to reach back to the network analyzer, right? So we need to somehow come up with a way of calibrating those things, okay? Now, there's actually a measurement device on the network analyzer over here, which measures the S21, right? But there's also a voltage measurement, or a measurement that goes on over here to measure the S11. In other words, you know, this thing over here. So actually we have a load on here, which is going to measure the 2-1, but there's also a voltage measurement going on right here to measure the 1-1, right? And if you have just a single one-port parameter circuit like this, you know, you're only doing S11. You're just trying to measure this gamma right here, right there, which is S11. And you can still have this same problem, like if you think about my antenna, right? I've got my radio room down in, you know, the shop, and the coax cable goes out of the shop and up my tower, and that's, you know, 100 feet in the air, right? And that's where I want to measure the input impedance of my antenna. And I don't want to haul my laptop and everything up the tower and hook it right on there, you know, dangling out. Not a cool thing, right? Yeah, it's like Well, I don't know. The one I have up there right now has a boom length of probably 31 feet or something, and, you know, and so it looks like a giant TV antenna. The you know, the elements on it, it works on several different frequencies, but they're probably about 30 feet long, you know. So, you know, it's pretty big. I mean, it wouldn't fit in this room here. And, you know, when you're reaching out there, some of these elements aren't right by the top of the tower, you know. They're out there a ways. And I don't want to climb out there on that thing and be hanging by my... You know, anyway, so you want to be able to take and figure out, and it seems like it's possible. Suppose I had a network here like this, okay? And it was in between the load that I wanted to measure. I really want to measure the reflection right back here. And I've got this network in there. Could I figure out what it was if I knew what all these S parameters were right here? Kind of uncascade it. You can see, because it's the cascade of this thing and that thing. I mean, that's what I'd like to do, and that's what the calibration routine of the analyzer does. So suppose we have, you know, we have a situation like this, where we have an unknown scattering matrix here. Unknown S, or two-port parameters, you know, and it has its scattering matrix. And which way did I draw this? It goes down, right? And there's actually one going around like that, right? And now I'm going to put this onto a one-port scattering matrix, right? This has, let's see, this is going to be going this way, so it's going to go around like that. And this is, you know, gamma, or the scattering matrix. Can I measure, I make measurements, at, you know, the input here, and maybe I should put a little caret in here. These are reflection measurements. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to measure reflections. I can remove and put different loads on here, right? I've got, this is the unknown, gamma unknown, UNKN, okay? I measure this gamma UNKN. And what I'm going to do is I can take that off, and the idea is I can put, what I'm going to do is there are kind of three things that come in here. There's this guy, there's this guy, and there's these two guys, okay? And actually, you will see something when you do this. You only need to make three measurements. You might think I need to make four measurements, but you really only need to make three, because a thing coming in here can either come around like that. It can do that, okay? Or it could go through here, right? And if it goes through here, it goes around however many times and then finally comes back. But if it goes that way, it also comes that way, right? So I will have the product of this one and that one. Does that make sense? It will always be that, no matter what I put on here. If it comes back to here, it had to go come back through, right? And so there will only be the product of this one and that one. So I need to know this thing, and that times that, basically, is what happens. And by making measurements, by putting on three different things here, and the easiest three to put on are a Z0, okay? So there's no reflection coming back this way, right? That would help you measure this thing, probably right here, right? I mean, well, let's see. It would be this thing, and then you'd have this thing going through, And then if there was a Z0, anything coming out here would not come back, so you don't have to worry about that, right? And if it doesn't come back here, then it's not going to come back there, right? So you just get this thing, right? And then if I put the other two things they usually put on there are like a short circuit and an open circuit, okay? Because it's easy to make a short circuit, easy to make an open circuit, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I have these little BNC connectors down in the lab. You've probably seen them floating around. You know, they basically just like a short circuit, an open circuit, and, you know, four 200-ohm resistors across, you know, one, we'll make a little plus sign there. Four 200s in parallel is 50. Yeah, okay, well, you'll see them, like, next day or something. But I don't know if you want to go through the algebra, but basically it's just like you were doing with that, you know, about pulse bounce diagrams. You just add up all the things here, right? You know, and you can figure out what the gamma is here in terms of all these, and it's an infinite series, right? Add up all the bounces, you know. You do this way, or you do, or you do one around like that, and then the next one is. Just one around, all the way around like that, and then one, one, two, and then out. You just add up all those things, right? And each one of them, you know, you can see this one is, you know, S11, and this one is S, what is it, 12, and this is S21, and this is S22, and you just, you know, multiply them out. When you're going around this loop, it's S22 times gamma, you know, however many times you go around, right? Get the lift, and you just add those things up, and then you do those three measurements with open circuit, short circuit, and load, and you can figure out what the things you need to know. S1, the product of these two, and that one, okay? Once you know those, then you can put your unknown on there, and you can figure out what it would come out with over here, right? And then you solve backwards for the unknown in terms of what you measure. Does that make sense? So it's just a little algebra. I won't make you do it in the past. Sometimes I've assigned that as a homework. But it sounds like you guys are snowed under still from other stuff. Okay? And I think, in principle, you can understand how to do that. And, you know, sometimes in the past I've derived it for people in class, but it takes a whole class period. And, you know, the way I kind of understand, you know, the way you guys feel these days, taking a whole class period to derive something is not fun. So, I don't know. You know, if you want me to, I'll be glad to do that. I mean, I'll sit down with any of you who are interested, and we can work it all out. But the principle of what you're doing is more important than the algebra, okay? So hopefully next time I can actually, we'll just go down to the lab, we'll hook up one of these little analyzers, and we'll play with it and make some measurements and, you know, do this calibration, whatever. What?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. It's like, I don't know, it'd be nice to see what kind of information you actually get at 4S.
It'll plot the Bode plot for you down here. As it makes the measurement at, you know, you can set what for a range of frequencies, you know, start at DC and move up to whatever the highest range on the analyzer is. So it'll plot, you know, the transfer function for you. It'll plot the impedance as a function of frequency. You can plot it on the Smith chart if you like. You know, once you have it in the computer, there are so many ways you can display it, and it's just a little software to do that, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.